When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, here we go, it's the Cop Hype Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Cop Hype Podcast, where Liverpool have just drawn 0-0 with Manchester United. I've got Matt, I've got Mick, and I've got Tim with me today. Boys, thanks for joining us again, appreciate it. Have we all got a beer? I've got my beer. Tim, show us your goods.
In a really I'm up here with nothing, so...
Mix on the trebles, doubles. Matthew, what you on? You still on your cup of tea?
Would you believe it if I said it's pure vodka?
That's fine, mate. We'll claim it as pure vodka. Put a disclaimer in the comment. Well, I just want to give a big shout out to Martin Tyler straight away for giving us the history lesson. Every fucking sentence was, "Oh, this player did this on this day 5 years ago, and Pogba was the winner last week." Honestly, just fuck off, right? But let's just start off with Matt. I'm going to come to you first, mate, because we missed you at the beginning of the game. Just give me very quick 30 seconds. How were you feeling after that game? 0-0. Go.
Kind of relieved. I didn't want, apart from the fact that I wasn't too worried about the point situation because there's a lot of the league left to go. So 6 points is very much, you claw it back. It was more, I didn't want United to be the one to take the home record. And given the way that we've been performing lately, I didn't really think if it was nil-nil towards the end, if anyone was going to hit, it was going to be them. And like one of the comments says, the front three is misfiring. So I'll definitely take a nil-nil, which is great for Liverpool recently.
Fair enough, mate. I like that. So let's 30 seconds, Mick. Initial reaction to that game. Go.
It's more fucking pissed off at Martin Tyler, like you said, Jay. Fucking just chatting shite for fucking 90 minutes. Just fucking concentrate on the game, you old bastard. Fucking hell. Just talk about the game. I don't give a shit about fucking stats and whatever. But yeah, I think we said 0-0 before the game. Yeah. Probably in hindsight, be happy with that because they're in a good vein of form. We've got two centre mid to centre half. It's going to be difficult, but we had some good chances. But thank God, like we've touched on this pod before, thank fucking God for Alisson Becker because he is what we need this moment because he can keep out anything because that's what he's there for. He's the best keeper in the world, and I think Martin Tyler even said he's the best keeper in the world. I was like, Martin, are you all right, mate? Have you been taking some fucking some shit in half time or something? Because you've been saying you're giving us some compliments, mate. So I'm surprised. So yeah, but there's some chances there where we're in on goal. We should do better, but it's one of them games where it's give or take, isn't it? Like it's everything's there to win, and you've just got to be lethal. And we weren't the first half, especially. We should get a couple of goals. So
yeah. It's a long 30 seconds.
I was about to say that.
Well, Mick's right though. Mick is right though, Tim, isn't it? There's only one person in the world that has a better beard than Mick Moran, and it is Alisson Becker. So, Tim,
ooh, 30 I don't know seconds, about that. Mate.
Well, mate, come on, yours is pretty fucking sweet. There's only Alisson Becker that beats you to it, and no offence. But Tim, go on, mate, initial reaction, 30 seconds, how are you feeling?
Yeah, just the fact that Martin Tyler is an excuse to mute the TV every time we play Man United. But yeah, happy with the result because of the way we played, but looking back at it, it just makes me nervous because it's been the same shit for the past 3 weeks, and that's the concerning bit. The game was a ball draw. No, we didn't create anything significant as per usual at the moment. And as much as everyone says, "Oh, our front three are misfiring," they're just not firing at all. You know, they're not off target. They're just not firing at all. You know, we're not shooting. You know, Mo shoots, it's getting blocked. Every time Firmino shoots, it's either rolling for the keeper or it's blocked. Mane, I don't even think I can't remember him taking a shot. So yeah, just boring to watch, which is annoying, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, when the whole thing before the game, Matthew, was all about centre half and Matip. We've got to give a fucking props to Jordan Henderson and Firmino because they were outstanding today. They were fucking brilliant at centre half. I'm saying it now, we don't fucking worry about the centre-halves anymore. We've got to worry about the front three. That's where the issue is now. Yeah. That's three games, right? As David said, I think that's David Rowland. No goals in the last three Premier League matches. What's happened to our revered front three. Matt, what the fuck is going on with that front three?
Well, for what, it's like 3-4 seasons now with the front three. I think people have just figured out what to do to nullify them. I know they're world class, but you stick, it's I think it's well known fact, you stick 5 players behind the ball, 6-7 players behind the ball, and the front three is doing nothing. That's the blueprint to anyone that's come away from a Liverpool team without losing. It's worked. So I think I was thinking towards the game when at halftime I was thinking if we had a proper number nine like a Lewandowski, a Haaland, a Harry Kane,
a Jota,
we're winning that game because a couple of the chances that fell to Bobby, any other number nine in the world worth his salt puts them away. And I don't think Bobby needs to come out the front three. I just think maybe is it time for a formation change, switch to a 4-2-3-1, put Bobby in the behind the striker and buy a proper number nine. Is it time for that?
Mick, do you want to answer that question?
Yeah, possibly. But we've touched on this on Tim's show, into the Twitterverse, where losing Jota is...
Love that plug. That was a fucking... I'm just going to give you a round of applause for that plug into the Twitterverse there. That was fucking brilliant.
Last show, go and check it out.
Fucking super.
It feeds in nicely to what we were saying on that show, which is once Jota came around, we were like, is he going to disrupt this front three because it's so good? Fact is, he did. He scored fucking loads. It made our front three go, right, we need to play. If we don't play top form, we're out of this team. And then the fact that he's gone, that's like frightenedness. I'll use a Michael Owen word there. To go out the team. Yeah, that fear to come out of the team is gone because Jota's not there anymore. And it's like, well, once he comes back in, I imagine there'll be a severe uplift in our creativity in the final third because we're missing that hugely. Like, and I know we were talking about like the centre back conundrum, like playing two centre mids there. I've had loads of Man United fans giving me shit going, oh, we should have won. If it wasn't for Alice, we would have won. It's like, yeah, but you're at Anfield and we've got two centre mids to centre half. Really, you should be winning. Really, if you're so good and you're as good as you're saying you are, you should be winning. That's what it comes down to. But I'll leave it there.
Tim, when you think about it and you're looking at the game as a whole, and let's just touch on Thiago straight away. Straight away, we saw how fucking amazing that player is and what we've been missing for the majority of the season, basically, haven't we? Because he did dictate that midfield, especially in the first half. He was a little bit quiet in the second half, obviously. But what a player we've got in that number six again. And we seem to be saying this in every show now.
Yeah, well, for all this hype and talent around this Man United midfield that, you know, they're stepping up into the best in the Premier League, Thiago, for one half, had them on a piece of bread. And for breakfast, because he played them off the pitch for 45 minutes. He looked like he was in a different realm of footballing ability to either of them, to Pogba, to McTominay, to Bruno Fernandes, to anyone. He was by far and away the best player on the field for the first 45, and he showed it in flashes in the second half. He wasn't as consistent, but then again, for a guy who's played about half an hour of football in the last 5 months, that's probably to be expected. Yeah, what a player. And, you know, he changed the game with his passing. He had a cracking shot on goal. And that's the kind of thing that we've been lacking, is a bit of a variety in the way we go forward. And he came on today and was exactly that. We didn't have the finishing touch or the wherewithal in front of goal to put our chances away, but he certainly, you know, changed the way we look going forward and controlled that midfield for big parts of that game.
Yeah, he was. He was a massive positive in that game, as well as Alisson Becker, Fabinho, Endo. But it's so nice to see, because every time he gets the ball, I'm not worried, Matt, that he's going to lose it. You know, Matt, I'm looking at Xabi Alonso back in the day. We think, right, he's got the ball now. He's going to find feet for it. He's going to find a red shirt. Albeit, yeah, I think there was one or two passes that might have gone a bit astray. But I think, all in all, the man is a class act. But Matt, what I want to come to you about here is Bobby Firmino, because he did have a good hatful of chances that was wasted. And what's going on with Bobby Firmino in your opinion right now, Matt?
I think every game there's, 10 men defending? And Bobby, just like the other rest of the front three, work on space. And the man's got no space. It doesn't matter how good his touch is, he's got no space to do anything with the ball. When he has the ball, the front three can't run it. Front two can't run anywhere. So he can't do anything with the ball. When he gets his chances, he's, apart from the Palace game where he had space and you can see what he can do with space, because he's got men on him. He's never been a clean striker of the ball either. So, I mean, I'm not too disheartened by his poor finishing because I don't expect it. So he's not really letting me down. I'm more impressed when he finishes them than disappointed when he misses them. It's just what the chances he missed tonight is what we sacrifice when he's actually on form. And today was just kind of highlighting what we're really missing from a striker, which is an actual striker that can finish. Because usually Mane and Salah are doing it for him, but you have to say that Shaw had Salah quite well pocketed. And Wan-Bissaka, although not completely pocketed Mane, he did handle him pretty well.
He did do well. And Mick, that's what I want to come to you about now. When we look at it, we could talk all day about how Liverpool's lack of finishing was so frustrating and all that sort of stuff, but was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's game plan perfect? Did it work? And were United quite good?
Well, I'm sure their team talk before the game, like we touched on the team news pod, but match where Matt weren't here because he was off gallivanting.
it's a funny old word, gallivanting, isn't it? It's a funny old word.
Yeah, I shouldn't say the word gallivant, should I? Fucking hell, it's a trigger word for some people. But I've got the question. Love you too.
The question was, was United's game plan actually really, really good?
It was all right. It's expected. Like, they put Pogba right mid, then they've changed him and put him in the centre or left mid. I don't know what they did, but they're trying to stifle us, which is like the biggest compliment you can pay. Like, to trying to stifle Liverpool team, because you've got to change, like, you come against Liverpool, you've got to change your whole outlook, you've got to change everything, because if you let Liverpool play, we'll walk all over you. And it's like, that's the biggest compliment you can pay, that they've changed everything, what they've done. They've like took Matic out, which I was surprised by. Bruno Fernandes didn't touch the ball about twice? I don't know, I can't remember how many times he touched it, but it was only like a little click over to the side that I seen. It wasn't anything like too industrious or too creative from Fernandes, but I expected exactly what he did. I expected it. So it's a good point for them, and I've had a lot of Man United fans text me going, it's like, thank God Alisson, otherwise you'd have lost. But yeah, that's what Alisson's there for. Like, De Gea made a couple of saves as well. So I know we didn't. It's just trying to get that forward three back into its funk, and it comes back again to Diego Llota. Once Diego Llota's back into this team end of January, I imagine we'll start to see us click again, because missing him is huge.
You're muted, mate.
You're muted, Jay.
You are.
Are you playing charades? What with that? Go on. Is it a film or?
Oh, he's gone.
He's locked out.
All right, where is he?
Oh, there you go.
There he is. No, he's still muted.
I can hear a very faint voice, but I can't hear him.
It sounds like a ghost. It's like just like me.
There you go.
Hey,
I'll fucking talk like this. Forget it. No, what I was going to say was, when you look at the way Firmino is at the minute, have you noticed that his two best games had come when the fans were back in the stadium? And I don't think that's any coincidence. I think because the fans give him a massive, massive lift, and I just think there's something on his shoulders now where he just thinks, so there's just a mind block for him. Tim, I don't know how you feel about that, but going forward now, would you still keep the same front three? I mean, I know the lack of options and stuff like that, but when you mentioned a formation change before, so would you change that formation, maybe playing one striker up top with someone dropping back? How would you play it?
It's kind of hard to if we were at full strength and Hotta was back, I would. I really would. I think that teams have figured out how to play against a 4-3-3 now, and playing really, really narrow and forcing us wide and putting bodies in the area is just completely neutralising us. And you were talking about Ollie's tactics. I think he's just looked at the previous three games and gone, all right, well, we're just going to go into this game and not lose. Yeah. And that's a result for us because we're proving that we can hang with Liverpool. But they didn't do anything different than West Brom did. They've just got more quality on the pitch. Would I change to a 4-2-3-1? I wouldn't yet. I would wait for Hotta to come back because I don't think we have a natural striker that can come in and fill that one at the end of the formation yet that's going to consistently get goals unless they bring in someone in the next 15 days in January. But once Hotta's back, I don't think it's a question of whether to do it or not. I think you put Matic back in the back line, you put Henderson, Thiago in the holding positions, and you start to play a different way, because I think at this point, what's the point? What's the point in trying to continue playing a way that's clearly teams have figured out and are starting to stifle? It's frustrating to watch. I can't imagine Klopp is going to sit there and go, okay, well, we're just going to continue to try and hammer our way through this, and because it's just not working anymore. And the sign of a great manager is an ability to change, and I think Klopp will.
Yeah, Matt, it is worrying, isn't it? That's three games now without a goal. I can't remember the last time that happened.
No, probably Varane days. I think we do need a change, and I love the guy. You can't argue with his numbers, but I really think Mo needs to eat the bench against Burnley, at least not start. And if he's going to go 4-3-3, I think Shaq needs to start, because we haven't talked about him yet, but I think Shaq was pretty on it today. Quite impressive for a guy that what we've seen for half an hour. In the last 6 months, we haven't seen Shaq. I've personally been calling out for Shaq because, aside from Thiago, technically he's probably up there as our second best player. And you saw it today. And he'll give something else in the front three, because as long as you kill the space, then Mo's kind of done in a game, which is weird to say. And it, for a guy that's got such great numbers, it's weird to think that you could so easily, or he's been so easily pocketed. But Shaq doesn't rely on his pace. He's very tricky. He's very hard to get off the ball. And he's a lot more of a threat when you've got teams that are just sitting back. So I feel like definitely against Burnley, who are going to do the same thing against Liverpool. We need that. We need that bit of creativity, that little bit of nippiness. And unfortunately with Mo, at the moment at least, it's not looking like he's going to give us that.
No, it's true. Mick, when you think, I looked at when the substitution came, I thought Bobby would have got pulled. When Shaqiri had gone off, because I really thought Shaqiri had done really, really well. I liked the way he was playing. Obviously, when he got a yellow card in the first half, I thought that was a bit stupid. But apart from that, I thought Shaq had a decent game.
Yeah, he was boss. He was boss. Like we touched on the team news, it was team news pod. It was he's gonna create those moments where he's willing to take those risks, which is like most of our players aren't at the moment, because when you're not in a rich vein of form, you don't want to play those passes that like get cut out and we get countered on. Then you go, oh, fuck's sake, why is he throw out that? But like Trent usually does that. Like there's a lot of players who usually play those passes, like Henderson as well, especially when he's in midfield. Passes over the top, like Shaqiri was just playing, like cutting the lines, like Thiago was doing the same. It's like it was working up until a point where we got into the final third and everything slowed down. It was like, Salah's got the ball. Right. Wait. It's like on counter attack, especially where like Martin's got the ball or Salah's got the ball, and you're like, right, run at them. Just fucking run. It's like, well, no, he's stopped and he's slowed down, waiting for everyone to get back. Then he's passed it off to midfield and then everyone's back in time. And then it's like, well, the chance is gone now. It's like, that's something that needs to change, and Shaq can bring that as long as he stays fit. As long as Shaq stays fit, he plays in this team at the moment where we're not firing like fullback wise. I think Andy Robertson he's maybe been our player of the season so far, in my opinion, but today he weren't quite there. He's usually 100%. Like every pass is like solid, but there was a couple of times there where, especially like early on in the game, I think it was played to him and he was like hit it straight behind for a goal kick. And like, you expect better of him. I know that's like he's got high standards, but Andy Robertson's usually spot on with them. So it's just there's a lot of players out of form, and that goes into the favour of why didn't United should have really beat us. Like, they should have. Like, if they're so good and they're so top of the league, we're not playing well. We're not in a great vein of form. There's a load of players out of form. We've got two centre mid to centre half. With, like Gary Neville said, we're there for the taking, and I actually agree with them. We're there for the taking. If you've got the balls to go and play against us and go and like play it behind and do something with the ball, were there for the taking, but they weren't. They didn't. Yeah. They didn't do that. So they were too scared of what we might do on the counter attack. So,
on that, Mick, I just want to come to a comment that we've just had. So, first thing I'm going to take from this is playing two midfield centre backs isn't doing the two young lads Williams and Phillips confidence and good, in my opinion. We either sign a centre half or no title this year. And Gav said that Shaq was shite. Matt, I'm going to come to you on this one. I can see that you're trying a bit to come at that. Do you want to take the first part of this comment or the second part?
Can I take all of it?
You can take all of it, mate. I think Gav's got a point with the fact that Klopp's playing two centre midfielders at centre half, because I mean the commentators have said it themselves. If you're not playing Williams or Phillips, and you know, you're nullifying that midfield, aren't you, where it allows us to get forward because Edison and Fabinho do give us that. But you give your opinion on this comment. Let's see what you think.
I think I'd agree about it wrecking their confidence if we were playing Derby County. We're playing Man United. And Fabi's playing centre-back superbly well. And your captain, Jordan Henderson, who is a very good defensive midfielder in his own right, has shown that he can deputise at centre-back very, very well. So in my opinion, if it would have been Phillips and Fabi, I would have been confident. But looking at Henderson and Fabi at the back gave me a bit more confidence, and you can't say that they didn't repay Klopp's faith because they both smashed it. Going forward, yeah, in the past we've said that having Henderson at the back takes away from our midfield creativity, but the midfield didn't struggle to make chances today. It's the front three that failed to finish them off. Yeah. Thiago and Shaq were brilliant. I don't know how he can say Shaq wasn't, but fair enough, it's his opinion. I thought Shaq was amazing. I don't think he did put a foot wrong. So I was very happy. And I think Genie marshalled quite well. So I don't think we lost anything creative-wise. Like I said, I just think the front three failed to finish off what they got given.
Right, well, Gav's come straight back at you and said, how are they ever going to gain confidence then?
Well, can I answer that?
Who's going, Matt or Tim? Are you doing it?
Go on, Tim.
Well, all I'm going to say to that is the fact that, listen, as much as, yeah, it's not going to give them any confidence, when Van Dijk comes back, there's three players you put ahead of either of them to line up next to Van Dijk. You put Gomez back, you put Fabinho, and you put Matip. So realistically, going forward, they're not really in Klopp's plans. Those guys have been brought back off loan as a just-in-case this season because of exactly what's happened. If Joe Gomez wasn't injured, he'd be lining up alongside Matip or Fabinho. If Van Dijk was there, he'd obviously be lining up against Matip, Fabinho and Gomez. Like, realistically, as much as they're there to offload the pressure from the midfielders dropping back. Yes, they're both very good. They've been good when they filled in. But at the same time, in a big game, you know, Reece Williams has shown that he's been outdone by pace. Nat Phillips is a bit reckless at times in games. And moments like that against sides that have the quality like Man United do going forward on the counter-attack, you can't take a risk like that. You put the experience in the back line and you deal with whatever comes your way. But yeah. Listen, yeah. If these two were going to fill in next to Van Dijk and they were serious contenders going against Joe Gomez, who's 23, and Matip, who's been brilliant every time he stepped in, then fair enough. But these guys will probably go out on loan if we have a full strength back line.
Yep. Can I add as well quickly before we move on? Klopp as well might have taken into consideration Reece Williams' age as well, like playing him with the risk of him getting skinned by Rashford and by Martial could do worse for his confidence than good. And yeah, he might have handled it very well. But if Henderson gets skinned and costs us the game, you'd bank on our near 30-year-old captain who's won us the league and the Champions League to be able to bounce back a lot quicker than an 18-year-old kid who's just cost us the game in what would be the most important game of his career so far. So he may have just been shielding them.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
All the points there. And that's what we like, a bit of debate on here. Gav's just thrown in there saying Villa Dick does with the strongest team out. Again, he's got a very good point, hasn't he? Because when
Klopp was trying a high line, he's been trying this, experimenting with a high line. We never played a high line. That
Gav's point now is, sorry, Tim, Gav's point is quite valid, isn't it? I not think we're creating chance because we are sacrificing. He has a point, doesn't he? Because Henderson gives us that pivotal role in the middle, doesn't he? Which allows us to sort of spring forward. But on the flip side to it, it wasn't the chances that weren't created tonight, because we created a bunch of chances. We're just, the finishing was shit.
Oh, he's definitely got a point, because I think we were mentioning it against, was it when we came off against the loss against Southampton, that we said that we missed having Henderson in the midfield. So if we're looking back at the Southampton game, I completely agree with Gavin. But today, I think Thiago and Shaq and Gini created fine from midfield. I think it's the front three that let us down today. But maybe in future matches, then, yeah, you'd have a point. And can I just say, Tim's looking very Nat Phillips-esque today.
Well, let's just look ahead to the next game, because Dan's just thrown in a really nice point for us to carry on with the whole centre-back issue. Dan's just said, you know that, what's funny, Burnley actually aren't as physically big as Man United, so centre-back will be interesting again. Again, that's a really good point, because now do you throw in a Nat Phillips, whose game is a little bit more gritty and fighting in terms of what the way Burnley would play football? Mick, I'm going to come to you on this one. What would you do? Would you stick with the Hendo Fabinho partnership, or would you be throwing in a Williams or a Phillips to go alongside Fabinho?
I would be getting Henderson back into midfield. I agree with Gavin in terms of like we're doing it to try and get Henderson into the team, but against Burnley, he looked absolutely shite against Man United. So Phillips in there, like they've got what, Wood up front, who's decent in the air. So if you've got Phillips in there, he'll negate that. Having Hendo in midfield is integral for me. We missed that tonight. We did miss that, and I mean we had Wijnaldum and Thiago in there, and Shaq, who were good enough to do it. That we still played well, but having Hendo in there, because you could see him when he come out, when he was bringing the ball out from centre half, he was like trying to push his on, and there was moments where he was trying to run a bit more forward than he should have, and then he thought, oh fucking hell, I can't go that far forward, I'll have to come back. And you're like, well, that's why he was like, having him centre half as that it negates us in that way, because he can't go a bit too gung-ho in terms of closing people down, because he knows he needs to be back in time for maybe a ball over the top that can get us into trouble. So I expect Phillips to start. I expect Phillips to start against Burnley, and I expect Thiago, Hendo. I expect the exact team I expect today if Matip were fit. I imagine it's going to be Phillips and Fab, and then Thiago sitting, Hendo on the right, Gini on the left. That's what I expect.
I agree completely with Mick, but I'd like to see Phillips come in for Salah. Shaq push forward, Hendo push forward, and Phillips at the back.
So let's just focus on this game. Also, we're coming up to the half-hour mark now with the show, and let's just keep it focused on this one. Two things first. Well, honestly, I want to throw Ian's comment there, and apologies, boys, we can't see it because Ian's obviously wrote a long thing, and it's right that we acknowledge it. Ian said he's getting a bit annoyed now, us wanting for our missing defence that are injured to come back, and we haven't fixed it. It's duct tape, in my opinion. We need a natural fix, as Gomez and Matip are injury prone and not small injury, by the way. You can't say to me with the midfield, Thiago, Hendo, and Fabinho, which makes you feel you've won when you've read the team sheet. Now, I get what he's saying there. It's come up to the 17th of January. Sorry, it's come up to the 18th of January. It's the 17th day, and we still haven't signed a centre-half. Now, it does. I think that signals everything now, that we are not going to sign a centre-half in January. Given it 3 months ago, you would have thought, we're getting a centre-half in January. We must do, because you're losing your two best ones. We're going to sign a centre-half. That's now not happening. And, Tim, it makes me worried now, the fact that we're not having a centre-half. And like Tomo has just said, we're duct taping over the cracks. We can't carry on like this in the Premier League and Europe without a fully fit centre-half, which I think if we bought a centre-half, we could play with Fabinho and I'd be quite happy and satisfied for the rest of the year. But to, like you said, to be having Fabinho in and then we'll put a different one in and then we change it, we bring a different person in and we change it, it doesn't bode well for the rest of the season. And I think that's going to worry me a little bit going into the last, you know, 4 or 5 months of the season.
Well, I think that they owe it to Fabinho, to be honest. I think they do, because the guy's filled in and played completely out of position for the better part of you know, 4 months now. I think they owe it to be able to play his natural position again and actually keep him happy and playing where he wants to play. Because let's face it, he's not, I'm sure he's frustrated as much as he's doing a great job. I'm sure he's frustrated at having to play centre-back consistently. And at the end of the day, I think he's got a point there with Matip and Gomez. They are injury prone. And I'm sure Fabinho's looking at that and going, oh God, you know, if this is going to be a consistent thing, I'm going to actually have to be constantly filling in at centre-back, whether it's next to Rhys Williams or it's next to Van Dijk. It's going to be me that's going to be dropping. I mean, it's becoming of concern now, because I think he's right. Having a midfield of Thiago Henderson and Fabinho would feel like a win, because I just don't think that there's a midfield in the world that could match up to that and realistically, 9 times out of 10, not lose a matchup. In that sense, it's frustrating. But then again, this is the kind of result that maybe tips Klopp or the club over the edge and says, "Listen, you know, the Man United have come in as this team that are, let's face it, they're not as good as they actually are." As we've rightfully pointed out, if they were that good, they would have come into Anfield and absolutely annihilated a team that wasn't there. As you guys have rightly said, and Gary Neville said, it is there for the taking, because West Brom could have beaten us, Newcastle could have beaten, all these teams could have beaten us. So if, for example, if that was Man City would have beat us 3 or 4 nil. Let's be real. If it was a world-class team, Man City, Bayern Munich, any team of that kind of standard, they would have come in and wiped the floor with us. Having 3 or 4 results like that on the back of each other, not spread out over the course of time, but on the back of each other, and seeing how that's affecting us going forward, is surely now either a push for us to sign someone in January, be it a centre forward or a guy at the back or something along those lines, unless that they've got this hope that Van Dijk's going to be back way ahead of schedule. Because that's the only reason I can think of now that's going to keep them from signing a centre back, is that they've got some inside information that Van Dijk's going to be back middle to end of February, and there's no point in spending the money. But
Tim, you're right, mate, because the club have never actually come out and confirmed, you know, Van Dijk's out for X amount of time, as they've never actually come out and said that. So you never know. It remains to be seen. And we pray to God that this man is back as soon as possible, because he just gives everything. And to be fair, just to touch on what Tomo said, Trent looks lost with no leadership on the back line. Having that security of Van Dijk does allow Trent to have that little bit of, you know, get forward. Dad just said something really funny to combat what you've just said, Tim. Wipe the floor was, I think Alisson had something to say about that. I absolutely spot on, because Alisson was undoubtedly one of the man of the matches tonight, because I think Fabinho, Hendo or Alisson could have been all three of them tonight. But Mick, what I look at now is what that result now does for the title race. So let's just look at that for the next few minutes before we finish. Obviously, we're going to be playing, they kick off in a few minutes' time. They've got 2 games in hand as this minute. If they win both those games, and they can go top. Now, it's very tight in January. We're having January blues yet again. It always seems that Liverpool battle last year, we have January blues. Speaking of blues, is it City's to lose now?
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the table now. So United top 37, Leicester are second and 35, we're third 34, Spurs 4, 33. And then you've got City on 32 with 2 games in hand. So if they win tonight, they go 35 level with Leicester above us. So we get pushed to fourth. So it's like, there's so many factors to counter in here. Like no fans in the stadiums. There's so many things that you've just got to factor in. Like people being out for COVID tests. And like we missed Salah, we missed Mane, we missed all kinds of players. Shaq as well for a bit. There's a long way to go. Like, there's still, was it 20 games to go? I mean, I tried to get Harvey on because it was 21 games to go, because I thought 21 seconds to go, but he was busy. So we'll get him on soon. But apart from that, there's so much that, like, we're halfway through. Like, anyone taking a piss going, oh yeah, we're definitely favourites for the title, we're definitely favourites, like, you're talking shite, because there's so many games to go. Like, if Man United get an injury to Bruno Fernandes or Pogba or Rashford or anyone who's integral to what their team do, then they're going to see a bigger drop in what we've had. Like, the fact that we're still there with Hendo and Fabinho centre half, like, fucking hell, like, you've got to give major props to that. Like, we're still there with those two, like, filling in at centre back when we've got Van Dijk, who is insurpassable, and Gomez, who is his little fucking assistant in chief. That we're still doing it. And it's like, you've got to give major, like, props to that, because we're still there and thereabouts, and if we're still there and thereabouts when Van Dijk comes back, I hope it's sooner than we expect, then it's all good for us, because like these teams are coming up against us and we've got such a weakened lineup, you're thinking like you should really go and beat us. Like, you should really, if they go and beat us tonight 1-0, like Alisson kept us in the game, you'd be like, well, we had two centre mids, a centre half. Like, what can we really expect? Like I said before, like, losing Van Dijk and losing Gomez, losing Matip as well. There's your three centre halves that you've got. You've got two centre mids, centre half. You're trying to play the same way. It doesn't work. Like, and we try to like put a fucking square peg in a round hole in terms of like fitting it and like letting Thiago and Shaq go, right, we'll play from the midfield. It doesn't quite fit the same way as what we're used to. So the fact that we're still doing so well and we're still up there, like, obviously it's like I agree with you, Jay, it is City to lose, because they've got a few games in hand now, so they seem to be like just rolling over teams in terms of like getting three points on the board. So I'll look at the league table in like another 10 games time, and if we're still thereabouts and we've still got players come back into the team, then I'll be really happy.
Fair enough, mate. Good point. Matt, I just want to come to you on this one. Dan just said people are getting carried away about the title race all season, in my opinion. I think that's because of how good we were last year, and this time last year we were pretty much clear and it was nailed on that we're going to win the league. So I get why people are getting heads up about it. The race really begins end of February. Everything else is just a warm, like, qualification process. I get what you're saying there. It's right. You know, this is the business end of the season once you get past January. I was going to throw in a bit of a wrestling thing there where the Royal Rumble is on the way to the road to WrestleMania. But I'm not a big fucking loser. But I am, in general, because I've just mentioned it anyway. But Matthew, when we look at it like that, mixed absolutely spot on, is it? If we're still there and thereabouts with a few points difference, given the way this season goes and the way certain teams are playing now, everyone's picking points off each other because of COVID, because everything that's going on, let's not get too disappointed, no?
No, we're there. We've had massive injuries. Like, it's not just Virgin and Joe, it's Jota's out. Thiago's just played, what, 3-4 games, just made his Anfield debut halfway into a season. Like, we've had massive injury issues, and any other team facing these issues would have been far gone by now. I mean, look, last year, City were our only real contenders. They had one injury, and we kind of had the season wrapped up by February. That's not going to happen every year, regardless of how good you are. Like, you're going to have a drop off, or the teams are going to sort of catch up. And I wouldn't say teams have caught up. I'd say we've dropped off, expectedly, because we've had the issues that we've had. I think if we have a full strength squad, then we would be far and away winning this league again. But yeah, for now, qualification process, I'll agree with that for now. And then when it comes to the business end of the year, last 10 games, we'll start to see who's really going to go for the title. Hopefully we can start scoring again, and then we can start grinding out some more points.
Tim, final word, mate. You think the same way?
Yeah, pretty much. One of the things I said in the pre-match, which was, you know, at the end of the day, this isn't a season-defining game or a season-defining stretch of games. It's by the end of January, if we're within, you know, 6-7 points of the top, which is weird for us to say, but on current form, we might not be. I think we're in striking distance. I think that, you know, once we start getting serious players back, like Sohota, maybe Van Dijk towards the end of the season back, you know, this is the kind of stuff that gives you a lift and gives you that extra push to go on a run of games that's unbelievable and what something that we have done for the last two, three years, going on a 10-plus win streak religiously. So am I worried about the title race? Not yet. I think two, maybe three more games like this and I'll start to really struggle and think that maybe we'll start to fall out of contention. But I think that Klopp will now kind of make changes that will be necessary, and we'll start to see a difference in performance, and especially in front of goal in the next couple of games.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, go on, Mike, sorry.
I was just gonna. I've got a comment that I've saved from earlier in the pod, from my good mate Al. Do you reckon Klopp changes for Burnley to freshen up and then goes full strength for United in the FA Cup?
No, please no.
No, I reckon it's the other way around. Thanks, Al, for doing that. I'm so sorry I missed that. I do apologise. Should be back up, Mick. I think he drops for United. I'll be honest. I think the FA Cup just takes a back seat again. It's Jurgen Klopp at the end of the day. He's not asked about the FA Cup. I think he does play different people. I think he'll play the strongest we can against Burnley. Is it Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday.
I can't remember. I think he plays a strong enough squad for Burnley, drops for United. That's just my opinion.
I wouldn't be surprised that is if he just goes full strength for both. We went through December saying that when we get through the busy schedule, we'll really get into our stride. And really, our stride's been when we had the games one after the other. The boys seem to prefer that, even though it's got us shitting ourselves for injuries. Maybe you just need to get them back-to-back games firing every 4 days and then they get back into it. So.
Yeah, Matt, you are spot on, mate. I would love that to happen. I fucking would. I would love that. Full strength Burnley, full strength United away. Absolutely, I fucking love it. I just don't think it happens with him. I just really don't. The two league games, I would say, yeah, but just with it being a cup game, I just think he'll use an excuse to change it up a little bit. But I don't get paid money to do that, so it is what it is. But listen, boys, it's been a fucking pleasure, as per usual. You know, 41 minutes ago, I was a bit pissed off. Do you know what? After speaking to you boys, I'm a bit fine. You know what I mean? It's all right. But yeah, we got it there, boys, at the end of the day. It's only January. It's a lot closer than it is normally. My best advice, just don't look at the league table for the next 3 or 4 games. Let's see where we are in 3 or 4 games. Don't look at the league table until then, all right? We all love you loads. Thanks to everybody for coming and joining us on the show. We appreciate it. Join us for the FA Cup preview because we'll be here and we'll also be here for the Burnley game as well. Appreciate it. Peace out. Liverpool's still going. See you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.